This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'll be your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Barbara. Hi, groomers. Welcome to the 13th episode of The Groom Pod. I'd like to remind you to join us on Facebook by searching The Groom Pod, and you can find the podcast on Stitcher and iTunes, and we humbly request that you give us a rate and review on iTunes or Stitcher. It does help this show when people search for it. And our website is thegroompod.com. You can find Barbara at groomblog.blogspot.com and her shopping site at shop.bbird.biz. So, how's your week?
Oh, I had a really eventful week, lots of stuff going on. Well, one of the things that happened this week that's really unusual for me is I sent a dog home undone. And you know what happened? It wasn't that the dog was difficult, it was a regular customer, but she came 20 minutes early. And I now have my table set in the up near my counter. And so she came in and didn't just silently slip down into a chair and be quiet, but she, before she even saw that I had the dog on the table, she said, "I know I'm early." And it's a wire fox terrier. So there the dog, I mean, the dog was just immediately endangering itself near my scissors. And I had barely started the trim. The finish work. I had barely started, and I had looked at my clock and said, "Boy, it's 20 minutes till she gets here. I should do the head first." I didn't even get the head done, and you know, I just was so kind of rattled and pissed off that I just said, "Okay, here he is." And I explained to her that it's that I need all the time that I say I need, you know, and that it just doesn't work to have the owner there, especially once they speak. The dog thinks that they're done and they're done. You know?
Time to start a re-education program with your clients to let them know if they come in early, they better sneak in and sit down and not say anything.
Yeah, especially now that I'm in plain view. Or the
yep.
Dogs can see their people come in. And there again, a lot of the time I have the dog pointed the other way, not facing the door, and they wouldn't see the people come in. As long as they come in quietly and sit down behind the counter and don't say anything. But you're right, re-educating. It's time, now that I'm in more view of the customers, I need to remind them when they drop dogs off that if they come early, they need to sit down and shut up. to use the words of Chris Christie.
Absolutely. I really think that'll help you out. And the longer you're up there, the more it's going to drive you crazy and the more natural the re-education process will probably be.
Yeah, what did you do this week?
Well, I wanted to say that I watched the whole creative, and I totally think that Lori got the shaft over there in Pasadena.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that a beautiful groom that she did? And she manifested that artwork so well.
It was amazing. I loved it. It personified the picture. It was just spectacularly colorful. It had great flow. I was surprised she didn't win. It was just an amazing groom. So kudos to Lori Craig. That was fantastic. And, of course, everybody else who competed. So on that note, I have not been able to find show results, and I've emailed Todd, and I know he's deep in show season, but he never bothered to respond to me, so I don't have show results to display this week. So hopefully next week we'll get some show results.
Yeah, we'll just have to leave it that we will share them when we get them.
Look out, here it comes. It's your mobile moment. So one thing that happened to me this week is I was sitting at the vet office, the place I used to work. I was in there with my cat, and a guy walked in with an adorable but very shy Shih Tzu that had just been rescued into their home. And we got to talking a little bit, and it turns out that they have three other rescues at home, and one of them is a somewhat difficult to manage Yorkie. And he was kind of chatting with me, and I first pointed out the vet has two groomers back there and that they would be, I'm sure, more than willing to handle his dogs if he would choose that. And he thought, well, maybe we were thinking a mobile would be better, but we got a quote from another mobile and it was really expensive. And I said, yeah, it is really expensive, kind of a luxury item. And he said, well, we're willing to pay it. What do you start with? And I quoted him my price. And he said, okay. And I gave him my card. And then I went home and I thought about it. And if he's got four dogs at one stop, that is a full day of grooming for me at one house. And I'm not so sure I want to deal with that. No lunch break, no potty break. I don't have a bathroom in the trailer. I don't know if I want to do it. I haven't called him back, hoping that I could kind of wrap it around your brain and see what you think. So what I was thinking of suggesting to them, rather than me doing all four dogs, is perhaps they should have the three dogs that are easy to do done in a shop, and that I should do the aggressive dog. Do you think that's a fair thing to offer them? They don't want to pay my price for all four dogs. They're trying to negotiate down. I think the better suggestion would be save the money on the three dogs that are easy to do and then pay me the big bucks to do the one difficult dog. Do you think that's reasonable?
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me. As a former mobile groomer, I used to like when I had multiple dogs at one stop, and I just ask to use the restroom.
Well, and I do. I leave pee mail at everybody's house. You know, that's no big deal. But you sit here and look at me through the webcam. I'm fidgety. I like to move around. Spending 8 hours at somebody's house, that's a lot. Not to mention, I'm trying to integrate a whole entire blocked out day into an already fairly full schedule. And that's the other deterrent for me. It's basically to fit a whole day's worth of grooming into my schedule. That means using one of my days off. And I don't know that I really want to go there. I'm just finally getting my days off back.
I hear you. And I don't want to see you overworking. And there is a big difference between a new customer with one dog and a new customer with four dogs. But Susie, why does it take you 8 hours to do four dogs?
Well, it doesn't, but it doesn't. It probably would take me 6 hours to do four dogs if I don't talk too much, you know, because I've got to hand dry each dog and I'm counting extra time for the difficult dog, and they are all rescues, so I'm not sure. You know, I don't know. It would probably...
Well, I would negotiate to do the difficult dog and then see, you know, because maybe, well...
Two is easier than four to fit in. Fitting in four, that's pretty much a challenge.
Right, I hear you.
Because I only do six dogs a day, you know, so I don't know. I'm torn. I'm really torn. I certainly want to do the aggressive dog because I know that I can and make it, a gentle grooming for him. But the other three, I figured that a regular shop could handle those guys, three dogs, in a more efficient manner than I can in the grooming trailer, which means in the long run, better spent money for the grooming client.
Right, right.
Yep, and okay. A happier groomer.
Just explain it to him.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. I just kind of wanted to think to see if you thought that was reasonable or if I'm just copping out because I don't want to stay at one house for half a day.
Well, just tell them that you are really interested in helping them with the York, that you really think you can make a difference and you really want to see if you can help that dog have a better grooming experience that the mobile and the whole situation would afford the dog. But that you're just not looking for a multiple dog appointment right now.
I can approach it that way. But I do think I can make this little guy feel better, and yeah, that I think would be good money spent for them to have me come and do the one dog. And I probably could fit two. Fitting three, fitting four, that means I've got to move. You know, I'm a creature of habit. I've got the same day repeats every 4 weeks. So every fourth Monday is the same. I hate change. Oh my. Anyway, so that's my mobile minute, and thank you for hashing that out with me. I appreciate it. Cool. Well, let's go over the show schedule. And this week, the show schedule is brought to us by PetSmart. And as you guys know, down at the bottom of our website, we have a banner for PetSmart. And you can click through our banner to do your shopping at PetSmart. And the Groom Pod gets a little bit of a kickback from your purchase. It doesn't cost you anything more, but it certainly helps the show out. It helps Barbara and I out with all the production costs and the necessary ills that go along with producing a podcast. So this week is Atlanta Pet Fair, probably creative happening right now. Oh, I bet they're having a great time. I bet they're so excited. I wish I was there. I wish we were both there. Olga's webinar is March 24th. That's coming up fast. I'm not sure if she has space available anymore in that or not. April 12th and April 13th is the NDGAA certification workshop at the Groomers Mall in Virginia. April 17th through the 19th is All-American Pet Expo in Columbus, Ohio. April 23rd through April 26th is the Northwest Grooming Show in Tacoma. I put up on Facebook a question to our listeners about what questions I should ask in my fun questioning round to our grooming celebrities. So I got lots of great input, but if anybody wants to add to that list, please go to the Facebook page and give me some great questions to ask our interview. And then April 27th and 28th is the VIP Pet Workshop with Olga in Alexandria, Virginia. May 1st through May 3rd is Groom Classic in Kansas City, Missouri. May 4th through May 7th is the Pet Boarding and Daycare Expo in Burbank, California. And there you go. And we want to encourage you to do the same thing you do with PetSmart with your Amazon shopping. And with the Amazon shopping, it does not have to be pet-related products at all. It can be any product, book, movies, it can be dresses or clothes, or it can be car parts, whatever you want.
I just bought $100 worth of pawn supplies at Amazon.com by way of our website.
Pond supply. Do you have a pond? Do you have a fish pond?
I have a koi pond, yeah.
I had no idea.
And I had some guys cleaned out my back porch and my backyard, and they somehow disappeared my pond skimmer, my leaf skimmer.
Yep.
And so I went on Amazon.com. I bought a new pond skimmer, and I bought barley bales to help the pond stay clear. And I bought a cool net device to put the pump in the skimmer so that it doesn't get so clogged up with debris that overhangs my pond. I spent a bundle, and Amazon is rather incredible these days. It's scarily so, because they're competing with all the rest of us.
Yeah.
But it was really convenient, and I was really happy to find so many things that I wanted that is going to give the podcast a little bit of a kickback.
So on a tangent, how many koi do you have in there?
I only have 5 now. I'm down. I had a number of disasters happen that I can't even bear to talk about, but you know.
We out here, we provide a smorgasbord for the great blue herons. So every spring I go out and I buy a bunch of feeder fish and I put them in the pond, and then we watch all summer long until fall comes and one of the herons figures it out, and then it's just, well, a buffet table for the heron.
Oh, that would be so hard for me. I mean, I lost koi that I'd had for 20 years.
Well, we started out with koi, and that's why we've ended up with feeder fish, is because it was too hard for us. So between losing chickens to the coyotes and losing koi to the herons, we just kind of had to rein it in.
Okay.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. Our first appointment of the day today is styling aids. And styling aids are the products we use to help with the finished look of the dog. They make fluffier dogs fluffier. They make limp-coated dogs have texture and body in their coat. They can help you shape eyebrows and beards. And they can fix problem areas and hold stuff in place. And I am a big proponent of using styling aids. And I know you are a big proponent of using styling aids as well. And basically, what are we talking about here when we're talking about styling aids?
Well, we're talking about sprays, mousses, gels. We're talking about anything that helps you give form and finish to the grooming that you're doing. I was watching her DVD on Asian grooming, and Olga's great. She's a lot of fun to watch, and it's real clear about what she's doing. And she accompanies herself with drawings. She was using Chris Christensen Thick and Thicker spray on the mustache of the Asian styling to get that football shape that you want for those muzzles. You know, it's a matter of combing up the mustache and then spraying it a little bit, and then it'll stay in place and you can scissor that upwards. I'm gesturing with my hands, which is what Olga does on her video. And you can create the shape that you want. So it really gives you more sculptability to use a styling product.
Okay, well, let's start with mousses. So all these styling products really kind of originated in the human world, didn't they?
Exactly, and they're pretty much formulated exactly as human counterparts are. Mousses have the advantage of being very spreadable by hand. The foam helps you spread the product through your hair. I use a mousse on my hair every time I wash it. And I use a mousse if I have I use it a lot on Bichon coats that are a little bit too soft. And so the headpiece is gonna kind of drop. One of the things that the styling aids have kind of across the board are stiffening agents that, you know, and so there may be a little bit of stiffening agent or there may be a lot, but they all have that. The mousse is kind of a medium light product in that regard.
With the mousses, they're probably the best choice for overall working through the coat kind of from the roots out. And I use them a lot in Bichon heads, but I know that they can also be kind of handy in terrier coats, like in the furnishing.
Trick with using mousse is that you have to apply it after the bath and after you've towel dried the coat on the still damp coat. And this is where I kind of run into problems because I find it, some bathers don't get it about using mousses. And so they don't do it for me. And unless I ask, I end up with a dry, floppy coat on my table, and then I have to use something else. So mousses you want to use on the still damp coat.
So you get it in the coat, you kind of work it in the head, and then you want to blow the hair the direction you want it to stand, right?
Right. That goes in all styling. So, and that's something that's important to train your bathers to do that for you, because if they're let's say on a terrier jacket, for example, terrier jackets, you want those jackets to lay down flat. On a Bichon, you want it to stand up on end. So a Bichon jacket, you would blow dry pushing the hair up. A terrier jacket, you would blow dry from the back of the, from the withers on back towards the tail and pushing the hair down. So right. All the more so when you have a styling agent or an assist in the hair, a product in the hair, then you want to continue to dry in the direction you want the result.
So after you've used mousse in the hair, can you run a comb through it?
Oh yeah. Mousses are very combable.
Okay, what about styling gels?
Styling gels tend to be a little bit more stiffer, and they're very good for applying to a specific area. I use styling gels on almost all of my terrier eyebrows after I've scissored the eyebrow, or if I have like Schnauzer eyebrows that are kind of wonky, I'll put just a little dab of gel on my fingertips, and then I'll stroke it through the eyebrow from the head out.
I don't know. She's stroking her eyebrows out as if she was pulling the schnauzer eyebrow out. A little visual there.
And then finish the scissoring with the eyebrow just all laying down perfect. And then I rub a little bit more onto my hands and run it through the beard at the very end just to get that brick shape set in place so the dog's less likely to mush up the face. Don't you hate it when you do a wire fox terrier and you get that whole nice brick shape going and they lay down and just push it all up?
So you don't get this, but as a mobile, you probably might, well, you might remember this. The minute you take the dog in and you let it go in the house, it immediately runs over to the couch and messes up every bit of styling you've done, and you have to stand there and watch it happen. So I'll tell you a funny story. I did a doodle over at a house on Lake Washington, and it happened to be a somewhat friend of mine, a lady that was in my tap dancing class. I teach a tap class on Tuesday mornings. And it was kind of springish, and the trailer was full of water molecules saturated in the air. And it took me like 2 hours to finally get it dry. And the husband, who is a character beyond belief, they're from England, comes out to the lawn and he looks at the dog and he says, "Oh, she's beautiful," grabs the chucket, and throws the ball straight into Lake Washington, and the dog instantly dives into the lake. I couldn't believe it. I just stood there, my jaw, I didn't know what to say. There was a moment in my life where I was completely speechless. I did not know what to say to them after the 2 hours it took me to dry that dog, and they just let it go right into the water. I said, afterwards, I said, "Next time, if you're going to let the dog swim right after the bath, well, then just tell me and I won't dry the dog."
Really? Speaking of it being a waste, I think some groomers think that using styling products is a waste because it's not going to last 3 or 4 days. It's lucky if it lasts 3 or 4 hours. But you get that walking out the door perfection that, and you get the look that the owner never could achieve. It's just that extra something.
And if you're smart, you get the picture before the dog goes out, and then you've got that look to show them later at Christmas time or something.
Right.
So the gels, they work best for like spot applications, right? Can you use them throughout a whole head?
I've used them on Cairn Terrier heads and Cairn Terrier cheeks too. To kind of stiffen it, but you have to be careful with the gel if you do that because you can do too much and it can get kind of tacky and too much separation so that you get too, it can be a little bit too spiky. Although I like, sometimes I like a kind of spiky look and I call it on the very top of the head, on the crown. So I have a little Yorkie that I groom and his name is Scamp, and he gets a like 7 reverse smoothie and then a little Westie head, and I take the gel in my hands and I scrunch the top of his head and it comes, gets it kind of spiky, and I call it the little dude look.
I like it. It's kind of punk rock.
It is kind of punk rock, and there's no reason we can't do that. If we can do Asian styling, we can do punk rock dude look, Hey.
Cool. So do you ever use mousse and gel together?
Oh, yeah. I use mousse and gel together on myself all the time. So the gel is just going to give you a firmer hold when added to the mousse. And you would add it together in your hands. So you'd mix it together really well in your hands and then apply it to the damp coat. You would have kind of the features of both, a little bit stiffer than if you just used the mousse.
Chris Christensen, I know we keep going back to that, but he's got such an assortment of styling products. And I know he's got the thick and thicker gel, and then he also has a thick and thicker hairspray. And sprays are another category of styling aids. And they certainly come in a variety of holding strengths, which I never knew about until I started to do creative grooming. Picked up a hairspray trying to do a spiky mohawk thing, and it was just a really wimpy hairspray. And I didn't realize that there's quite a difference between the styling sprays and the holding granny glue type sprays.
Right. You can call it sometimes called a flexible spray or a working spray. That would be the thick and thicker spray. It's a spray that you can reshape the hair after and comb it after you spray it. And you can layer it on so you can get it be a little stiffer, a little stiffer. So you can comb, spray, comb, spray, comb, spray, and you can add stiffness to the coat that way. But you can continue to get a comb through the coat after you spray it. So that's a flexible hold or a working spray. And then there's like the final spray. Chris Christensen's is called Super Hold. And there are other ones out there. I like to use a spray from Isle of Dogs, Osthouse Spray, and that's kind of in between. It's a little bit stiffer than thick and thicker, and it's also, the big difference is that it's a pump spray, whereas thick and thicker is an aerosol spray. So an aerosol gives you a finer spray. A pump spray gives you a bigger drop. So it's like bigger drops of glue, all right?
So what about the environmental effect of the aerosol sprays? I know that used to be a big taboo.
It's no longer an issue because they're no longer formulating with the same kind of propellant. They've taken those VOCs out.
So when would you want to use a pump spray, or would you ever want to use a pump spray then?
Well, you might not. Okay, so the downside of aerosol sprays is that sometimes they clog and sometimes they run out of propellant before they run out of material. Don't you hate that when it happens? And a pump spray at the very, like you can take the spray apart and put it in alcohol or hot soapy water and clean it up and get back to spraying. Or you can even just put a spray from another bottle in there and continue spraying. It's also good when you can't ship aerosols by air. So if you're traveling by air, you might want to just take a pump spray. The Isle Style is a pump spray, and I can use it on a Cairn Terrier and get a really nice round Cairn Terrier head, not at all droopy, by spraying and then immediately lifting it up from the root up. So I put my comb right down to the skin and then just lift it, and suddenly I have this lifted crown and circular head going. It's not the same as if you know what they do in the show ring is they tease the hair little section by section all over the face on those Cairns and Westies, and then we just don't do that. You don't have the time to do it. You don't really want to do it that way, because
that seems to me it would create a nightmare coming back.
Well, yeah, it could create matting for sure, and it can also break the hair, and it just stresses the hair a lot to tease it. And it's better, I think, just to use a product that's going to gradually wear off in the next few days.
Sometimes they use chalk on those Westies and stuff. What? I've never used chalk, but they suggested it when I was certifying. What do you think about the chalk?
I used chalk for a little while because I knew that they used it at the shows, and it was kind of fun, and it definitely adds body and hold to the Westie head. But then I went to the show and talked to a breeder who was showing her own dogs, and she told me that she had had a bad experience with getting the chalk in one of her dog's eyes, and they had several thousand dollars of eye surgery later. She won't use chalk again, and she just recommended that groomers not use chalk, because you just don't know when it's so caustic to the eye tissue, and it's too hazardous. You don't really need to take that kind of a risk in order to get a nice pet head. You can do
okay,
it.
Okay, well, I will not be using any chalk then.
chalk has its places. Chalk is good to help you pull out a hand strip coat that maybe isn't coming out easily. It's also okay on furnishings to kind of plump up furnishings. But I really, you know, I really moved away from chalk now that I found there's so many styling aids, there's so many sprays and mousses and gels that I can use and get the same result without that powder.
I don't think I've ever seen the Isle of Dog product line.
They have a good mousse. They have good products. They have good styling products. I've been using some of them. They have a glossing spray that's called, I think it's called Isle Smooth, and it's mainly a cyclomethicone. It's a nice spray. It will straighten and give flow to tails or ears. If you have frizzy, if the tail or the ear on a Bichon or a Cocker is like too frizzy, it will take that out. It will defrizz right away. It's similar to Chris Christensen's Silk Spirit Serum, but in a spray form.
Interesting. Cool. So generally with the spray type of grooming aids, what is your most common application for that? I know I've used them on poodle top knots when they have pancake head. I've also used hairsprays in Creative, but where else do you use them?
Well, I have a light spray that I use, and I'll confess that it's a human spray. I use it all over while I'm scissoring poodles. I use it on the legs. I just use it all over. It just gives the ends of the hair, makes the ends of the hair crisp so that they scissor, and the scissors don't push the hair as much when they have a light coating of spray on there.
That's a great tip. I think I'm going to do that with my next poodle-ish leg, since I don't really have any poodles these days. I can do it with my Bichon legs.
Yeah, Bichon legs.
Okay, cool. Well, I guess that pretty much wraps up the grooming aid section. Do you want to add anything?
Not that I can think of. I'll probably think of it later today or tomorrow.
Well, just send me a text message. I'll add it in.
Or we can just put it on the Facebook discussion group.
Good point. Good point. The definition du jour. The next segment we're going to feature is our definition du jour. And I really briefly wanted to touch on why you are such a good person to talk about these definitions with. And you've done a lot of study in the art of shampoo chemistry, haven't you?
Yeah, it started out as a hobby and became kind of an obsession of mine.
And We're all benefiting from that.
I dig and dig. I just love it. And sometimes I understand the chemistry, and sometimes it's a little bit over my head. But the more I swim in the pool, the better I can swim. You know, it's just been it's very intellectually stimulating for me, and it's kind of, I found a niche.
Yes, and we get to share in that. I would say you are probably the most educated groomer in the grooming chemistry department that is not currently producing a shampoo line of her own.
That will come. That will come.
Okay.
But probably not quite so much as long as I'm at the table. You know, I have
right.
to, you know, but I am working on a shampoo to offer that's going to be a hypoallergenic, sulfate-free kind of basic shampoo. And what I would like to do, my vision, my fantasy, is to have a very basic shampoo base and then offer separate additives in little packets that groomers could add to make it be a moisturizing shampoo or an oatmeal shampoo or a whatever shampoo.
I love that concept.
You know, just a little packet that you would tear open and pour into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so everybody could be a bartender like me.
Well, one of the most common ingredients that seems to pop up and also cause quite a bit of controversy is oatmeal in shampoos. Can you give us like a primer on oatmeal in shampoos?
Well, I can share a few facts. The question is oatmeal an effective ingredient in shampoos? So colloidal oatmeal is a very effective moisturizing, anti-itch and anti-inflammatory product ingredient. And it also has some cleansing ability, and it also can gently exfoliate. So it is very good for dry skin, itchy skin, and has for hundreds of years. It's actually, oatmeal is one of the first botanicals that was used, by the Romans or whatever. You know, I'm not going to give you an exact date, but forever. And because of its soothing ability, and it's due to the nature of the oatmeal itself, that it's just kind of a complex substance that has proteins and glycogens and all this kind of technical stuff that gives it a lot of beneficial properties. So oatmeal itself is very effective. Whether or not it's effective in your shampoo is a good question. So there's a big difference between soaking in a bath with water and colloidal oatmeal, or shampooing in a solution that you then rinse off.
It certainly has been the benefit of a lot of really powerful marketing, because they use it marketing human shampoos, they use it in marketing pet shampoos. It seems to be ubiquitous throughout the industry.
It's kind of a fad. It's kind of a fad ingredient that's had long legs, really. It's not going away. But not all oatmeal shampoos are created equally. You know, that's the critical point. Not all shampoos that have oatmeal in them are going to be all that helpful, because it depends on the amount of oatmeal and the overall formulation. So if you look at one of the original first oatmeal shampoos, was Verbeck EpiSoothe.
I remember that.
Remember that? And that is a shampoo that your customer would bring in from the vet. And the success of the EpiSoothe shampoo was one of the driving points that started the whole thing on oatmeal shampoo. So regular pet shampoo companies didn't want there to be so much dependence on this one veterinary formula. They wanted their own oatmeal formula, so they came out with them. Well, Verbeck EpiSoothe not only has oatmeal, but it has spirulites, okay?
Spirulites, yeah.
And chitosan. So spirulites are a delivery system where the active ingredient is encompassed in a sphere that then gradually releases that active ingredient over a number of hours after the shampoo.
And so it's like a semi-permeable bubble, and it just kind of seeps
through. Kind of like that. Kind of like it. Or if you took my class on surfactants and you remember micelles, and
yes,
how micelles will group around a piece of dirt or something. Well, spherulites are kind of like that. They form layers around the active ingredients and deliver them, then they give you a delayed response or a delayed action. Chitosan is something that will just really forms a film on the skin and will hold the spherulites or the active ingredients to the skin for a long time. So it's not just an oatmeal shampoo, but it's a shampoo that was formulated to maximize the effect of the oatmeal. It's not nearly the same as some other company taking their regular shampoo and tossing in some oatmeal and putting it on and then creating it as our oatmeal shampoo.
What kind of things do we need to look for when we're looking to choose our shampoo?
Well, you want to look for 2% or more oatmeal, colloidal oatmeal. Colloidal oatmeal is simply oatmeal that has been ground ultra fine so that it disperses evenly in water. It doesn't just like sink to the bottom of the bottle or sink to the bottom of the tub or just rinse right out. It's interspersed and in suspension, and it's suspended throughout the product. So you want to look for colloidal oatmeal. You want to look for hopefully 2%, or you want to see them say 2%, or at least, well, I mean, what's 1%? You want a product that is recommended not to be diluted, because if you take, let's say they use 1% oatmeal, and then they tell you you can dilute it 15-1. How much percent oatmeal are you going to have then in that handful of shampoo that you use on the dog? Practically nothing.
Right.
And another thing, so you really want, for an authentic oatmeal shampoo, should be a ready-to-use neat straight out of the bottle application, and they should be recommending that you leave it on for 10 to 15 minutes, because you're not going to have any time. If you just put a shampoo on and rinse it off, it's not going to have any time to soothe the skin and to do the molecular interaction that's necessary that the oatmeal is capable of delivering. So the groomer has to be patient. The user has to be patient to use the oatmeal shampoo in a way that gives it time to work on the skin. And here's the rub. Some shampoo bases are not safe to be left on the skin for 15 minutes.
Ah, that is a twist.
Yeah, here's the twist, because they can be too irritating.
On that subject, oftentimes a client will call me up and say, oh, my dog's been itching a little bit. I went down to X store down the street and I bought an oatmeal shampoo. Will you use it? I've been using it for the past few days. I know that sometimes you can overuse a true oatmeal shampoo. Have you found that?
No.
Okay. So,
I don't think that you can overuse a true, I think you can underuse. I mean, I think I would actually rather have a customer who said she's been using it several times, because to use it one time and then nothing for a month, how much can you help a dog with a one-time application? It
Very
needs
true.
To be, you know, I mean, almost always the vet will recommend, you know, twice a week, but at least once a week. And that's a time when I will give a deal. I do a deal for medicated shampoos on a weekly basis.
Me too.
Yeah, I just think that it's fair, and we're not doing any styling, and
furthermore, you can't, I know that we all ask our clients when instructing them to use a medicated shampoo to let it sit on the dog for at least 10 minutes or whatever it's directed, but I swear they never, ever let it sit on the dog long enough, whereas I actually take out my watch and I time it, because they're paying me to do exactly that. I think it's more beneficial to have us do it than it is to have the client do it half the time.
Yeah, because, you know, like 10 minutes at the tub, especially if you're leaning over a bathtub at home, it's agony. 10 minutes is an hour, you know.
And there's your dog looking at you with his big sad eyes, and he's cold and he's shaking and he wants out of the tub, and you're looking at you didn't even bother to look at your watch, and out pops the dog, and you go, oh, doggone it, put it back in there, rinse it off, and you're done.
Yeah, I know. It's really hard. We use a timer. I've trained my bather to always use the timer, because you just think it's been much longer than it has.
In my case, I pull out my phone and I do a little Facebooking, and then all of a sudden 15 minutes has gone by and I didn't realize it, which is why it takes me 2 hours to do a dog.
There we go. It's painstaking.
I know it.
I know. It's interfering with my work, too.
Yep, I got to really keep it in check.
Yeah, and especially if you get notifications that make a sound, it's just really hard not to look. So what have I said about oatmeal shampoos? I've said that oatmeal itself is very effective. Oatmeal in a well-formulated shampoo that is formulated for the delivery of the oatmeal can be effective. But oatmeal as a fad ingredient that's just thrown in at the bottom of a list and put at the top of a label is bullshit.
Okay.
Oh, I said it.
I'll bleep that later.
You know what? The beauty brains, my mentors, the people that I look up to the most, the beauty brains, they have a segment on their podcast called Beauty Bullshit.
Oh, I like it.
So, I think we can use the term.
So, I have some exciting news, and this exciting news needs a fanfare. So, here's the fanfare. Okay, so everybody knows that we are part of a podcast network that's called the White Dragon Podcast Network and is primarily pop culture and Disney stuff and comic book stuff and that kind of thing. But I would like to say that this week we have rocketed to the third spot in the network.
Wow.
For number three.
All right.
So let's just take a minute right now to hear from Kevin in the White Dragon Podcast.
Hey everyone, it's your good pal Kev from the White Dragon Podcast Network, shamelessly interrupting your enjoyment of this tremendous WDPN podcast you're listening to basically shill to you. Bear with me here, folks, this will be brief. I know what you're all thinking, you're loving the tremendous audio spectacle currently delighting your auditory senses, and you're lamenting the fact that the stars of the WDPN are only around for you 1 hour per week, right? Well, you're wrong. We've got a whole slew of shows that will delight, entertain, and captivate you all week long. And the best part is that we've got something for everyone. Are you looking for something your whole family can enjoy? Well, look no further than Two Men and the Mouse, the flagship show of WDPN focusing on the magic and wonder of Walt Disney World. Pete Mandel and myself share our love of the most magical place on Earth as we count down the latest and greatest news of the week before diving deep into a featured topic. Maybe you're a fan of geek TV and movies. You love the world established in shows such as Arrow, Gotham, The Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Doctor Who, and so many more. Well, for you, we've got the Geek Watchtower. I'm joined each week by a special guest host as we review the latest installments of our favorite geek-centric media. Sometimes, though, the universe of geek pop culture can be a little too all-consuming and you need to go broad. That's why we've got Bat Squad Radio, hosted by the YouTube comedy trio known as the New Jersey Bat Squad. You'll hear me as Kev L, along with Bat Dave and Spider Denny, detailing the goings-on throughout all of geekdom. Perhaps you're more of a sports entertainment fan. Well, WDPN's got that covered as well. Step inside the world of professional wrestling with Ring Ropes Radio, the all-new pro wrestling podcast of WDPN. Kevin Clark and I present to you all the viewpoints of two 10-plus years veterans of the wrestling business and supplement that with special interviews with the stars of wrestling's past, present, and future. Want more information on where you can find this plethora of internet audio entertainment? Well, head over to facebook.com/WD Podcast Network and give us a like for all the latest news and new shows and episodes. Okay, I'm all done. I told you it would be quick. Well, this wasn't exactly quick, but whatever. Back to the show. Enjoy it, and thank you for listening to the White Dragon Podcast Network.
If you guys, if it drives you crazy that we're running a little bit long, please let us know, because somehow I feel like this will be more of a constant than an occasional thing.
We've got a lot to say.
Yeah, we do have a lot to say. You know, if I called you more often, we probably wouldn't blab so much, but it's just so much fun to talk to you. I love it. That'll wrap it up for the Groom Pod. See you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Bye, Susie.
Bye-bye, Barbara. Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.